Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
7 o'clock, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. We're with you until 7:45. Sixers Nuggets at 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic as the Sixers go for their 13th victory at home tonight against Denver. A little payback from their loss in that four-game road trip early in the season. But talk about a little comeback from last night. The Eagles, 23-17 over the Giants, made it harder than it needed to be. As we go to the Comcast Business Hotline, a great Eagle in his own right, a great analyst in my opinion right now when it comes to the NFL and some basketball stuff too. We get into the back and forth with that. My partner on the Birds pregame show every Sunday or before any game, any Eagles game, my guy, join us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jason Avant. Jay, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes as we talk about this game last night. It was a wild one. We all predicted the Eagles would beat the Giants, but not the way that it happened. So if after looking at everything last night, going over it again today, what were your observations of everything from last night?
Man, I think I'm close to the score, Devon. I think I'm close to the score.
Let me look right now as we talk about it. You went with 24-17. Yes, you did.
I'm close. Not all the way, but I'm close.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, the Eagles played really poorly at the beginning of the game, and I expected them to play poorly, both teams to play poorly in the rain. I guess people don't realize, you know, how hard it is to throw the ball and maintain offense consistently in the rain. And if the guy with the best traction just gets loose like the guy did Darius Slayton on Ronald Darby because he was unsure of his footing, and you get loose, miss a tackle, a touchdown can occur. So at the beginning of the game, they were playing really bad. But you know what? That was the most impressive game that I've seen Carson Wentz play.
With
all of the things that was going against the team at the time, with Alshon going out, with Lane going down, with there being one receiver remaining after Arthego Whiteside went down, and him taking a bunch of, tight ends and one receiver down the field and overtime, but also at the end of fourth quarter, and making the appropriate throws, on time throws for the most part, knowing where to go with the football, battling the elements. I was thoroughly impressed. I thought that was, you know, the best second half of a game since the Atlanta game, where the receivers let him down at the end of the game. So I thought that he played outstanding. And people can say, you know, it's the Giants and the Giants up. That's the NFL team. We saw last week that an NFL team can beat you any given Sunday. And they had the recipe for us in the rain, right? They got a few early touchdowns.
Sure.
We shouldn't have been able to come back, but it ended up happening because the guys, you know, fought back and Carson played well.
And just to stay on that, of course, 33 for 50 last night. Carson Wentz, 325, two scores, three sacks, the one fumble loss that we know early in the game. But, Jay, Brian Westbrook and Trey Thomas always talk about Carson Wentz elevating his play to elevate his teammates' play, even though they may not be on that level that we want them to be. And that's what we saw last night late in the game in that fourth quarter and certainly in the overtime as he led them back to their scores.
Yeah, that's an example of what we've been saying, right? You have lesser players. And when you're the dominant player, you can make other people better with your throws, with anticipation, and things like that, putting us in the right play. We saw a bunch of kills last night and getting us in the right running play.
Yes.
It was a really well-played game, and I have to give my hats off to Carson Wentz. And you know what? Doug, at the end of that game, called a good game. I've been hearing all day people are like, oh, what was he doing? And all, you down 14 points and your season's on the line, you have to pass the ball. You have to. And the only thing that the Giants can do moderately well is stop the run. And they limited Miles Sanders a bit, Boston Scott got his own, but if you start to look back at the 50 passes that he thrown, a lot of those passes were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, right? Those were low-risk throws. So I thought that Doug called a good game for the most part. I always say that the only critique I'll have for Doug would be his run-pass ratio. The actual play calls that he's calling NFL players and quarterbacks should be able to pitch and catch, because there's someone open on every play. It's all about if Carson can get to that guy in time, is he reading the defense the right way, and if the receiver can get open. But those are NFL caliber plays that people should get open. So he was able to do that. One play in mind that's ring the bell with me, the play to Ortega Whiteside to give him enough touch to be able to find the football. He beat him clean off the line of scrimmage, but how many times have we seen Carson Wentz overthrow the ball or throw the ball out of bounds in that scenario? He put enough air under the ball, had touch, things like that, anticipated it, and came up with a big play. Extending plays with his legs, the one that we've seen with Zach Ertz, which Zach Ertz did a terrible job running after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are things that Carson did last night that we saw in 2017, and that had our mouths watering of his potential and how good he can be. I thought this was a great win for him, though it was the Giants, which is still an NFL team.
Doesn't matter.
In horrendous conditions, he showed up in the biggest stage on Monday Night Football and delivered a win. This only can help him going forward.
And another big one, Jay, where he hit, I believe it was Ertz in that seam where he was able to get open. And oftentimes we talk about him, whether it's high or low or wide, missing, making the receiver move. He hit Zach Ertz in that seam perfectly to pick up that big play, those chunk yards that we talk about.
Yeah, the chunk yardage down the field, he knew where to go with the football. He knew where to go. Now, if it's a tiny critique is once you recognize the defense, you start to anticipate the throw. So Carson has to see it too long before he pulls the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you start to see color for your defense, for your receiver, and or you see an open zone, just float the ball into that zone so that guy can catch and run. Zach Ertz could have had a touchdown on that play that he had in the seam if the ball would have been delivered to him in stride, right? So little things like that. Now, I'm over analyzing it because I'm happy we won, but at the same time, like, those are little things that keep Carson, you know, that top 10 quarterback, top 12 quarterback, and start talking about, you know, Dak Prescott and who's better. That's what makes you elite. That puts you in that top five. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys getting older with Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, all of these guys that were, you know, stabilizers for the NFL. They're getting older. Now it's our time. It's Carson Wentz's time. So I want to see him take that next step and start to anticipate throws a little bit better.
Jason Devine joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Devon Givens with you here on the Fanatic. Jay, you talk about the running game and Miles Sanders, 15 carries for 45 yards. The defense playing pretty well on the line of scrimmage for the Giants. He went down with some cramps, and then Boston Scott, as you said, Doug Peterson, trusting what he was doing and adjusting to what the situation was, and he gave them a big boost with 10 carries for 59 yards in the score and 6 receptions for 69 yards. You spoke about having also how to win the game in these conditions, things in the flat screen game, etc., and that's what you got. Boston Scott really played well last night.
Yeah, it was a timely performance, and I thought that he was the hero of the game because you weren't expecting his production. We knew that he had some quickness, some elusiveness, some Sproles like quality and tendencies, but he ran that ball like he was 230 pounds, and he was, you know, 5'10", 5'11". You know, I was just with him at the dinner a couple last week. He's a little guy. He's rocked up, but he's a small guy.
He's like my height.
And, just height, but he plays big. He has a big heart.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you want, you know, and he came out and played outstanding, and they got to figure out a way when you have receivers down, and this is the perfect storm for Boston Scott, because you got Alshon that's out for the year. You got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which looks like a hamstring, which would be out for a few games. You got Greg Ward, and then you're going to have somebody that they're going to bring in right, or Nelly back next week. It's his time to, now we start to see him and Miles Sanders in the backfield. We start to see, you know, multiple tight ends in the game, which throws teams, that throws teams off, right? It throws you off because you're used to seeing receivers in the game. When you start putting two running backs in the game, you start putting three tight ends in the game at the same time, you're looking around like, what defense do we play against this? Do we play a traditional, you know, 4-3 defense? Do we play with three linebackers in the game? Do we add safety in the game? A lot of teams are going to this 7 DBs and these extra DBs. They're going to get killed in the run game if they have both of those guys in the backfield. So I think it's a perfect storm going forward, him showing that he can play. Now Doug can scheme him up and put him in the game plan consistently, and I don't think it helps our team because he can take over that Darren Sproles role that's been so neglected.
And Jay, a couple of injuries last night, key significant ones for the Birds. Lane Johnson looks like he's week to week, and Alshon Jeffrey, the news came out later that it appears he's done for the rest of the season with a foot injury. So when you look at the receiving core, if Nelson Agholor is able to go, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Josh Perkins maybe mixed in with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, what are you going to do at the wide receiver position, which has already been a problem this season, and also right tackle Vitae, I'm guessing, will be right there next to Brandon Brooks?
Yeah, so the Vitae thing, Vitae is sporadic, right? So I really, like, you're going to have some good plays out of Vitae, you're going to have some bad plays, right? So, but he's not going to get beat every time, right? So,
and it helps that he has the full week of practice, right?
A full week of practice, right? So he's going to do better because he'll have the team, he'll have the team scouted. He'll know who he's going up against. He's going to be able to count steps. He's going to be able to do a bunch of things that an offensive lineman get a chance to do. When you're on the bench, you don't get a chance to see that. But I think with the receivers, with the depleted receiver core that wasn't, you know, the best anyway, I think that you do what you have to do as far as you need to go out and get someone. Right, because Alshon's out, that frees up a roster spot, and you have to, you know, figure out a way to get a player in here that's valuable. I don't know who that is, but they got to figure out who got and get him back here or get him here. And then the other thing is to play small ball, play with. You know, three tight ends, two running backs, and start putting out funky formations. Right? One receiver in at a time. Mm-hmm. Throw tight ends on the outside. Do unconventional things that will throw off the defense and give you an advantage in the run game. So I think this is a perfect time to see how good Doug is, because when you have limited personnel, it shows how good of a coach you are. And I thought he did an excellent job last night. We heard from Carson Wentz that we had guys playing the Z position, the X position, that never played it before, and guys moving all around. And that's a sign of a good coach, because you have to know those plays on the fly. Don't think that Carson Wentz can basically go out there and say, hey, you do this, you do this, you do this. No, that's too hard. So a lot of those guys understood the concepts, and they were able to play well enough to win that game last night, and I expect that going forward. But you have to kind of avoid the receiver position and start putting out more tight ends and using the running backs in the passing game, even split out, because you have guys that are capable of doing that.
Well, before we let you go, Washington up next, and they're 3-10 team right now. What are you thinking early, obviously reacting off of last night's game, but looking ahead to Washington?
Yep. It's going to be a challenge for us going down there to Washington. You know, everyone wants to make us like, you know, this playoff caliber team that only needs to beat the Cowboys. Like, if we're struggling versus the Dolphins, we're struggling versus the Giants, we're going to struggle against the Redskins.
Yep.
Meaning that it's going to be a competitive game. So the Redskins has a very, very scary player in Terry McLaurin. We have to figure out a way to contain him, especially given that Devontae Parker just went off on us, Darius Slayton just went off on us, and Terry McLaurin is looking like, hey, it's my turn to go off on these guys. I'm not as big as those guys, but I can run faster than all of them. So we have to figure out a game plan, a smart game plan, and it's not pressing him, you know, one-on-one. It's putting safety over the top, and we don't like to do that. So I'm curious to see how we're going to cover that. They have, you know, an okay defense, okay secondary. I think that our team will be prepared for, and coming off this type of victory with nobody, I think Carson is only going to get better, because he saw that he can win with not many people out there, and he's the difference maker. He has to believe it. that he's the difference maker. He has to believe that he's the best player on the field. And a game like that last week or yesterday only helps him out. And once he knows that he's the best player on the field, then they'll know that, you know, they're a good team. And I think the game yesterday only helps them go forward to win Washington. So I believe they're going to win Washington, but I think it's going to be closer than what people think.
And we get a first chance to see Dwayne Haskins under center for Washington next Sunday. So, Jay, we'll talk about it definitely on Sunday for our pregame show starting at 10 o'clock live from Parks Casino. Thanks so much for some time tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Have a good night and go Birds.
Jason Navarre, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Join us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Great stuff from Jay as always. And if you have not heard him on the pregame show with Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, and myself from Parks, do yourself a favor. You just heard that in about 15 minutes there. He is fantastic analyzing the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.